This is a Beanbag Chair Media production.
Hi guys, and welcome to Anime Noise.
I'm Garrett. I'm a performing musician by trade, graduated with a bachelor's degree in music production, and have been binging anime for almost 2 decades.
And I'm Emily. I'm a classically trained violinist and have been indulging in the animes since I was a wee little human.
And this is an anime review podcast, where we help the new viewer decide where they want to start while taking the superfan on a deep dive into the overlooked realm of music and sound effects.
Flipping people.
What the fuck is up, guys?
What the fuck is up?
How's it going? How you doing? How you schmoozing?
Did you call your mom this week?
Yeah.
Actually, I know you did. I'm not talking to you.
Oh, okay.
I hope all is well with everybody. We are happy to have you here for yet another episode of The Anime Noise!
Dun-ba-da-da.
This week is pretty fucking special.
Hell yeah, it is. It's kind of one of the reasons this
is
show,
the reason.
Is it the reason?
I think it's the reason.
Yeah, I think you might be right, actually. Yeah. This is the reason we started this whole podcast. Why did it take us a year to fucking do it?
Also, I feel like our timing's kind of off with this one because since our first episode was Soul Eater.
Yeah.
I feel like at our year mark, we should have done Fire Force then because it's in the same, it's said
written,
to be
by
in
the same guy.
It's no, it's said to be in the same universe as Soul Eater.
Well, yeah.
And it's also written by the same guy. So I feel like that would have been like, you know, hand in hand the whole year.
But then we couldn't have had our birthday party.
I know. So it's like, it's bittersweet. But this week we're doing fucking Fire Force.
Fuck yeah, we are.
We're sticking to the F's, 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 and fucking Fire Force.
That's right. We are week 3 of 5 into our Food, Fate, Fire, and Fetish month.
Yes.
Which I am super excited about. I love Fire Force.
I genuinely...
Why it flew so far under the radar for everybody? I've heard nothing about it. On like TikTok or social media or anything, like a few people have probably talked about it. Most of what I've heard is that people complain about the fan service.
And but, yo, every off. Anime fucking has fan service.
This
God
one, yeah, this one's a little extra.
Dumbest.
It's got a little extra. People said it took away from the story, and I would disagree with that. This anime is fantastic. Go watch it if you haven't.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It is genuinely making me sad that. Okay, so we watched season 1 and season 2 while it was coming out last year. And then we went back and rewatched it for this episode. And I'm upset. I'm upset that I won't watch this show for a long time because we've watched it twice in a year.
Yeah.
And
close
like,
to a year.
And the context of the fucking OPs, I'm going to miss this. I'm going to miss it. So
the music's amazing. The sound effects are incredible.
Yeah.
They're absolutely incredible. And the story's really good. It's unique. It's completely different than anything I've seen. And I think you guys should watch it. Totally flew under the radar. It's kind of sad, but
we're going to hype it up.
We're hyping
sure.
it up. It needs more hype.
Yeah.
It does not get enough.
Here's our hype, bitches.
Don't be a pussy about fan service, okay? It's bottom line. Grow up.
I don't understand how you can even watch anime and not appreciate fan service at this point.
Who doesn't love boobs and butts? Even man service, I get it. I'm not into dudes, but
what,
I get it.
And that's what that's what's good about Food Wars is it's not just women.
Well, yeah, we're not talking about Food Wars today. We're sticking a fire.
It's still the same month, okay?
That's fine, fine.
We talked about Soul Eater.
I know, but that's because that makes sense. All right, let's get into it, shall we? Fire Force Season 1. Or NN no Shobutai. The translation is Flame Fire Brigade. How do you know it's Flame Fire, not Fire Flame? It's NN. Who knows? This aired July of 2019 to December of 2019. Has 24 episodes at 23 minutes each. The genre is a post-apocalyptic, but also read that it's post-apocalyptic.
They gave a good reasoning, but I was like, why? Why do we have to be so specific?
Seriously. It's also shonen, sci-fi, and action. Definitely all of those. The summary: weird shit is happening in this 198th year of the age of the sun. There's such a thing as human combustion, spontaneous human combustion, that keeps mysteriously terrorizing the citizens of Tokyo. And it's up to the firefighters who use fire to put out these fires and figure out what in the F fire is happening. Yeah, they're fire soldiers, but they're also, they fight with fire, fight fire with fire. That's like, there's so many fucking.
I had a lot of fun writing this summary.
Little plays on words here. Idioms? I don't think they're idioms. That's the wrong word. I don't know.
Words
are hard.
I don't know
the literary term for it. It's just a lot of fucking Fs. There's a lot of alliteration.
A lot
in
of
here.
Fs.
What the F, David Blaine?
So the studio is David Production. We haven't covered them yet.
David Production.
David Production. It is indeed a Japanese animation production studio.
Hmm.
They worked on Cells at Work, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and Inubaku SS.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't heard of them. Not that I've looked them up.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of the other shows that they've done either.
Other than Inubaku SS.
We haven't watched that yet.
Yeah, we have.
Did.
That was the one that I was literally just talking about a couple of days ago, unknowing that they did the same studio. It's that one where they, it's the rich people who live in this like condo and they have their little spirits, their fox spirit.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, we have.
No.
I made you watch it.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah-huh.
Uh-uh.
You goddamn dummy. I'll watch it again and be like, yo.
Wait. Yes, I do remember now. I do remember now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's how memorable that is.
Aw, I like that anime.
It's okay. Now that I think about it, we've just seen so much this year.
I know. Okay. Well, all glad right. We're all on the same page
now,
there.
Now, I do remember, actually.
Okay. It was licensed by Funimation. The director is Yuki Yase. He did Mechaku City Actors, Hidamari Sketch, and Honeycomb, the OAV. And he was an episode director for Puella Madoka Magica, Durarara, Fate Extra Last Encore, and the second season of the Monogatari series.
I don't know why you keep putting OAV. It's OVA.
Yo, there's ONA, OAV, and OVA.
I don't know what OAV is.
You don't even know what an ONA is.
Well, I know what an OVA is.
Yeah, well, that's fine. That's not what this is.
What is an OAV?
I don't know, man. I just...
Original animation video? They just switch the letters?
Probably. I just
no
look
sense.
On what the things give me. Okay?
Be consistent, guys. Because her notes are so inconsistent to me.
It's not my fault.
It drives me crazy.
You do the goddamn research.
All right. Enough fighting between us.
We're not fighting.
We're fighting. The Proving sound director for this amazing... These sound effects are so fucking good. I know he didn't technically do the sound effects. He's the sound director, but it's the same one as Food Wars. Can you believe that?
Talk about Food Wars. Let's not talk about Food Wars
Their
anymore,
Their name
Garrett.
Is Gene Ake... Tagawa, sound director. Yes.
Good job.
The sound effects. This is a surprise.
Yeah,
guys.
This is a huge surprise.
Their name is Yasumasu Koyama. You know what else they did? Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai. But only one episode?
No, that's our Bunny Girl Senpai episode.
Oh, I'm like, what the fuck? Okay. You should make your notes like... Instead of me reading your thoughts, because God knows what's happening up in that brain, you gotta like decipher this shit for me.
I just need you to be on the same wavelength as me. Get on my level, bro.
I don't know if they make drugs for that.
Rude. You should want to be on whatever drug I'm on, okay?
Seriously.
All right.
Oh, my God. Well, yes. Yasumasu fucking nailed it.
He did. These are incredible. They give me chills every time you even, like, get in a fight.
One of our Instagram followers actually messaged us and was like, this is the reason I got into sound design.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Of Fire Force. It's the reason we wanted to talk about sound effects in general. And we pretty much waited a year to talk about it. But we did pull up some videos for our YouTube playlist.
Our favorite sound effects.
Yes. One in particular. This has been going around the internet a lot. But Benimaru, one of the characters, the leader of the 7th division of Fire Force, his sound effects are fucking perfect. The attacks that he uses, what they did, I'm blown away. Like, this is the standard. This is the new gold standard for sound effects is Fire Force. You guys killed it. Killed it.
Killed it.
I think before we even... Well, we'll talk about the original creator first, and then I'm going to show you guys the sound effects because I've been dying to pull this up. We're going to do this first before we get into any music. So, Emily, talk about the original creator.
So, of course, Atsushi Okubo, the writer of Soul Eater as well. So you know all about that fool from our very first episode.
Yep.
Fire Force was actually his last manga that he created.
So far.
No, this is his last.
So far.
No. I'm telling you that he said this was the last manga that he was writing.
So far.
Why do you keep telling me that?
I mean, he's not dead yet, so he could change his mind.
You're right, he could. But I'm pretty sure when you put out press releases that say, this is my last one, you're probably going into retirement.
Until the next time he's like, oh shit, that's a good idea. Let me do that. I'm giving up on retirement, guys. I'm back.
I'm like, why do you keep telling me no? Like, he specifically said this is his last one.
Yeah, so far.
Okay, I'm done with you. I'm cutting your line.
He's not dead yet. He's not fucking dead.
Okay? I didn't say he died. I said this is his last manga.
Exactly. So far, he's not dead.
Good gracious. All right.
Let's get into the sound effects. Fuck yes. New segment, sound effects segment. I guess let's do Benimaru first because I did just bring it up. This is about a minute long. It's the scene where he's fighting in a demon infernal and he kicks his ass.
He does.
Episode 14.
So this is the infernal who became a demon. This is the white clad demon, right?
Yeah. So cool.
They nailed every explosion. And they paired the music with it so well, too.
What the fuck?
Epic. Like, if you're not like...
That was so cool. It was so cool. One thing that I did notice, too, about all of these explosions and the fucking lasers and shit like that. Tip for any sound designers out there. If you guys want to make an explosion sound even better, add debris. Add rubble. Add the other shit that's getting...
Like create your world?
Yeah. Because if you get fucking smashed, if you get exploded into a building explodes... You're not just going to hear the explosion. You're going to hear all the other shit that's crashing around you. The things that make it sound realistic and things you don't think about. Glass shattering.
Which I think they do a good job in this one. I mean, you didn't hear the rubble in this because they were literally in the air.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. They did a really cool job capturing the essence of the power to make it feel so powerful that they... create their own physics.
Yeah.
The sounds of their own physics. Very cool world building just with audio. I was blown away. was blown away. So the more you watch it, the more you'll hear when they crash versus when they're being attacked in the air.
Yeah.
I love it. You could even hear his cape flapping.
Yeah. It's cool. No, they did an incredible job with sound design. It keeps you like bound to the show. And it stays incredibly cohesive throughout. There's different sound effects for each character, like in what's happening, the situation changes,
how
and the
they
sound
use
design
their powers,
changes.
Their fire. They all use fire, but how they use it gets a little bit of its own unique audio fingerprint.
Yeah, like Arthur's plasma sword has a different effect than Shinra's devil's footprint.
Or even the villains with the chick that controls electricity.
Mm-hmm.
They can control people's minds and stuff.
Yeah.
When she can actually use her power versus when the plasma sword interrupts the power, gets two different sound effects.
Yeah.
Very, very, very well done. Lots of effort put into the sound effects. I'm blown away.
And the next video that we're going to show you, this one's my favorite one. This is where Shinra has, I think it's his second Adola Link. But the way that they put it in, they combined the scene of him like having this really creepy Adola Link, and it's where he sees his his feet are turned into just a skeleton.
Yeah.
And he's having that Adola Link, and the sound design isn't just like the normal sound. They added in.
They warp it.
They did, and it just sounds epic. It sounds epic.
It's so many cool sci-fi tricks and techniques that they just take and run with and create their own world with it. It's amazing. It's the best sound design I've probably heard in anime.
Yeah.
It's super, super good. It also gets your adrenaline going whenever you listen to it, but enough of me talking about it. Let's listen to it. I love the horn.
Like the static in itself. Creepy as fuck. And so fitting for the facial expressions and the situation. Like he was scared. Like,
oh,
and
yeah.
They created that emotion for you.
I love when the horn comes in.
He's like, oh fuck, something's happening.
Oh my god. It's so good. So that was just a few seconds of this compilation of Adola Links. The video is in our YouTube playlist, so go watch it if you'd like to. It's gonna have a bunch of spoilers, so if you haven't seen it, just go watch the fucking show. It's so good.
It is.
You will not be disappointed.
I have not met anybody who in my real life, the internet are all trolls. So I haven't met anybody who's watched the show that I have talked to about it that has said that it's an awful show or they're
taken
back from the fan service.
Yeah, the only bad, the only negative comments that I've heard or seen on the internet has just been about the fan service. So who cares? And if you're into that, hell yeah. That's not bad anymore. So I guess that's it for the sound effects so far. Unless we think of some more that we're going to play for you. Those are the only two videos that we have. Go watch them. Now it's time to dive into the music part of it.
The most epic part of it.
Yes.
Ah, I'm so excited.
Actually, for this one, I would say it's the second most epic part of it because the sound effects are that good.
The sound effects are that good. They are that good. But even in the OST, they did a lot of sound design too.
They did. Actually, yeah, I can't wait to talk about the OST. We're going to do things a little different because there's only one OST for this series and there's 24 episodes. So there's two openers, two closers. So we're going to do an opener, half of the OST, a closer, the next opener, half of the OST, the rest of it, and the last closer.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Let's go.
All right. You want to talk about Inferno?
No, you talk about Inferno. I want to talk about Mayday.
Well, that would... Okay, whatever. So then I'll talk about the second ending, or the first ending as well. Okay,
cool.
Got it. All right, so first opener, Inferno by Mrs. Green Apple. Episodes 1 through 12, it was released October 2019 on the album Attitude, but not released as a single. The album itself reached number 4 on the Oricon and number 1 on the Billboard, which makes my soul happy.
Yeah.
A little bit about Mrs. Green Apple. They formed in 2013, and 2 years after they formed was their year. They released their first nationally distributed CD, signed with a major label, EMI Records, and their first studio single was featured in Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5.
Cool.
And they never went downhill from there. In 2020, they announced the end of phase one of their career while calling for a break to begin preparations for phase two.
Oh, shit.
And with it, released a best album compilation, and the band members each deactivated their Twitter accounts to, like, go dark and create suspense. Like, ooh. They're getting pretty theatrical over there.
Seriously.
And earlier this year, 2021... the lead singer started his own solo career as well, never stopping with Mrs. Green Apple. And they've only appeared in Fastest Finger Fist anime.
The fuck is that about?
I don't know.
Sounds dirty.
Sounds real dirty.
And it's all Fs again.
Yeah.
Love the alliteration.
Yeah.
Talk about, we're going to talk about them for our last episode about fetishes. Fastest Finger Fist. I'm just picturing
it's a bunch of Fs.
I'm just picturing tiny fists at the tips of each of your fingers. And just
like the little baby hands that you can put on your finger.
Yeah, but they're fists.
But they're fists.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. All right, let's listen to that. This is opening number one, Inferno.
This is such a catchy song.
It's a very catchy song.
Like the way that they flow with their words and like go up and down. Ooh.
Very catchy melody. I love the hook.
Yeah. It's almost suspenseful too. Like they drop down and then even amongst all of it, they like come down with all the instrumentation.
Like leaving space?
Yeah.
Those rests?
Yes.
So catchy.
Yes.
Emily loves that song, obviously, if you couldn't tell.
I love this song, and I don't even know if I like OP1 or OP2 better. I just don't know.
I know which one I like, but that's, I'm biased because I'm just a big metalhead, and...
Then I wish you listened to more metal music more.
What do you mean? I just don't like, I'm a huge metalhead, but it's not something that I can really apply to the type of music that I'm creating right now. So I can't listen to that much metal. Does that make sense?
No, because you can listen to whatever music you want.
Sure, but I channel inspiration into my creations. And I'm not going to play anything that fast, nor am I going to scream on anything in the near future. So it's just not what I'm learning from right now.
Got it. We're going to incorporate metal into our DJ set.
Perfect.
I'm here for it. Let's do some Metalocalypse.
Well, let's do some lyrics, shall we?
Yeah. So the first line, the darkness shines in my days. I got used to walking in it. My dream is to have a safe life, even if it gets boring for lack of action. The light could become our darkness if you do not know which way to go. Jealousy will sometimes try to surround you. So don't not let yourself be suffocated by its heat. If you tell me there is no eternity, then smile because it's a good thing. If the light that shines someday goes out, we have the fire of life. We will walk together until it disappears. The sound of a toy can be the magic that heals pain. Be sure to treasure it.
I like it.
They're really poetic.
They are very poetic. I didn't realize that song was that poetic. I mean, it's obviously about Shinra and his brother Sho.
Yeah. And even, I would even say, like, the Shinra's want to be a hero and
protect everybody.
And protect everybody and use what he can do and what powers he has to save humanity.
Yeah. He's like, even if there's no eternity, like, let's just have fun right now.
Yeah.
Let's live in the moment.
It's okay that there may be no eternity.
It's a lesson for all of you listeners. Live in the moment. Well, definitely fits the anime.
It does. It definitely fits. I give it an A+.
There's no question.
I give it an A+.
Cool.
And the fact
that
the name of the song is Inferno. That's pretty spot on.
Yes. I mean, this whole show is about infernos.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the first half of the OST.
Yeah. Do you have any overall notes?
Well,
we
gotta talk about the credentials first.
You're right. I'd forgotten.
Way to jump the gun on that
one.
It wasn't me today.
I'm sorry. I know. I was excited.
All right. This OST was released December of 2019 on the DMM music label. It has 29 tracks, a runtime of 1 hour and 18 minutes. It uses a buozokai. I think so. Buozoki. A lute from Greece.
Yeah.
It's very, that's hard to pronounce. God, we still haven't found a pronunciator for our show yet. Anyway, the composer, Kenichiro Suehiro, very, very good job. He's also worked on ReZero, Starting a Life in Another World, How to Keep a Mummy, Goblin Slayer, Cells at Work, and Darwin's Game. Man, we haven't seen any of those.
Nope.
But I am impressed with this OST.
I am as well.
I'm actually more excited to talk about the second half. It's all good, like, pretty much all over. But there are a couple of critiques that I did have. But, Emily, you ready to get into some overall notes of the OST?
Yeah.
And we go over mine first?
Yeah.
Cool. One thing I do love is the military kind of timbres that they bring in. The marching snares, the percussion, it all is very, I mean, this is a military brigade, essentially. It's a squad that goes and fights fires. They're fire soldiers, so they got to make it sound soldiery, and they do a great job. The phrasing that they use is very, very heroic, and I'm glad they use a lot of brass in this OST.
They do.
I love the use of brass. It reminds me of the same approach or a very similar approach that was used in Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, at least for a few of the songs. It reminded me a lot of that. The comical relief songs, those pieces, they put some serious effort into them. They didn't make them just cheesy, which I really liked. And that surprised me because I heard the cheese, I heard the humor, the comic relief, but it didn't make me dislike the song. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite ones was a comical relief song. They did a fantastic job. They didn't slack on it. Let's see, what else do I got? The versatility. My God, so much versatility. And this was only by song 10. I wrote versatility down 4 times. As I kept listening, I was like, holy shit. The instrumentation is super smart. Some of the symbolism and stuff that they use, very good job. Again, versatility. I wrote it down again. Great at subtleties. They didn't overdo anything. They withheld a lot, I think. At times, it actually, that would be a little bit of a critique. It's like they didn't overdo it, But at times I wanted them to like, give me a little bit.
Yeah.
Give me a little bit more. Go
I felt
off.
This. I felt the same way.
Again, versatility. Not much as far as musical story. It didn't follow the anime series, this OST. I didn't like listen to it and go, oh, this is Fire Force.
This part.
As it goes. And again, I wrote down versatility as my last note.
Jesus.
And that was by number 29. So, yeah, one of the biggest critiques that I have for this is the lack of wow factor. There is a little lacklusterness to it for how good it was. It didn't give me the one song that I was like, oh, fuck, that song's amazing. It didn't give me the five songs that I was like, oh, fuck. There are some things that I starred and picked as favorites for different reasons, but none of them were, it got like an A, maybe even an A minus. If I know we're only supposed to compare the songs to themselves, to the rest of the OST, mm-hmm. but after listening to this much music and doing this many episodes, I can't help but compare it to other anime.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it didn't have that fucking super wow factor to me.
Well, do you think that maybe they didn't have that wow factor because they didn't want to take away from the sound effects? Because think about it, if they had done something a lot more louder, boisterous, more busy, that would have taken away from the effect of the sound effects because they did play music.
Depending on where it was, yes.
I mean, they had...
I think that's a good point. That is a very good point. We're kind of dissecting the series as a whole. So if the pieces make up the wow factor, which was this anime, and this anime was, it deserves a super wow factor, then yeah, they could have. I always look for music that can stand alone and blow my mind, which it didn't quite do.
And there were some tracks that did. They definitely could stand alone. I definitely agree with you that it was a standalone lackluster. Like there was for like a hot minute, I didn't really have a full start until track 11. Right?
Yeah. I wonder which.
Yeah. I didn't have a full start until track 11. That's how like, and, you know, and they put most of the like cheese comical relief at the very beginning of the OST. So there was a lot of time of listening to songs that didn't really blow my mind or really like get me excited about writing. The OST was very fast. I found myself writing very fast. And so I have a lot of typos and a lot of words that I probably won't be able to read. I'm going to be dissecting my own handwriting. But one of the things that I noticed about a lot of the songs is that a lot of them tell their own story.
Like, they do.
And they do it with like emotional motifs to describe the situation. So I felt like they did a really good job in that way. Again, lacking that like, oh, wow, that was fucking awesome. In a lot of the tracks. But I did find that it had movements throughout some of the songs.
Yeah. I also like the groupings of timbres.
Mm-hmm.
So like two to four songs would just sound kind of alike or have their own movements, and they would kind of fit maybe a certain chapter of the series, especially towards the end. Like the last five songs, I know we're not there yet. We're talking about 1 through 15 right now, but they did that. It fit the entire chapter of what they were going through, and each piece had its own movement and they all fit together. So they did kind of group them very well. I don't know what my first one that I starred. Not even 11 got a full star from me. 13 and 15 were the only two full stars I had on the first half.
Okay.
But I did have a lot of half stars and a couple of little things like number 4, I starred for Preston because I wanted to show Preston because that is that choir composition, yeah. That choral composing.
Yeah. They did a fantastic job with dynamics.
Yeah, the dynamics were great.
The dynamics are really good. You used the word versatile a lot, which I had my last note that I had was one of the most versatile OSTs that we've heard.
Yeah.
But I used the word certainly a lot.
Certainly.
In my notes. This is certainly something.
Okay.
This is certainly something. And it's because you can hear what the song is meant for. Not only does the title kind of give it away as well, but there's a lot of the tracks in here that I distinctly remember from the anime, which is good. And it also helped that I listened to the OST while we were finishing out the anime.
Yeah.
So that was nice to be able to relate it back to the anime, but the standalone part of it is.
That's the only part where I'm like, damn.
You could have put in a little bit extra to make it an epic thing to listen to while you're cleaning the house.
It may have stepped on the toes of the sound design.
Yeah. So that was kind of my only thing about it. But I liked the OST. It wasn't my favorite OST.
My favorite OST, but I am impressed by it for different reasons.
Yes.
So let's get into the stars. You already know mine. My full ones were 13 and 15. Although I do have to say this as overall for the OST. The first and the last songs were great choices.
Yes.
They actually are the same motif, I believe.
Yes. And actually,
different versions of the same motif, and they used it the way where they are on the OST, first and last. That is perfect. It's perfect. It was a great way to start and end. I also love how they don't just hit you in the face with all the amazing shit right away, like their best shit.
Actually, my favorite track was 28.
28. Yeah, this OST had a lot of balance to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what it gets top notes for me for, is just overall balance, versatility, and how it was put together. It was done very well. It didn't tell the story like I like, but it was done smart. I can respect the decisions made. So let's get into some of the music, shall we?
Yeah. I had a half star for track one.
I did
too.
For
the main theme. Also
number two.
I didn't, like I said, that was my first star, and then that was it until track 11. I had one half starred. I had 11, 13, and 14 full starred.
Okay.
And then I had 15 half starred.
Okay. Let's see. I had 1, 2, 4 for Preston. 5, I wrote so interesting. It got a star because it was just so, I didn't expect Comical Relief to be that good. Normally when I hear a cheesy song, I'm like, all right, it's just fucking cheesy, whatever. No, it was very good. The cheesy songs were so good. It surprised me. And what else did I star here? Number 9 got a star for character. The Joker's character. That theme was very, very good. Number 11 got 75% of a star. I got 3/4 of a star. Shots Fired was good. Number 12, The Dark of Hibana. That got a star for the character. And 13 and 15 were my two only full stars. But 14 also got a little note for just how different it was from the rest.
Track 15?
No, 14.
14. I had that one full starred.
You had 14 full starred?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have 15 full starred?
No, I had it half starred.
What about 13?
I had that one full starred. We had 13 was the only one that we full starred together, and then you did a 3/4 star on 11.
Well, then let's just play 13.
Okay. But we need to talk about our stars.
We do need to talk about our stars. So I kind of already did, but very briefly.
Well, I did not.
Which one would you like to talk about first?
I'd like to talk about number one. It's the main theme. It's the main theme that that comes at different variations throughout the OST.
That's true.
I think it's kind of important to talk about that one.
Let's do it.
So on the main theme, I said that the percussion sits at such an awesome volume and timbre on top of the strings. It almost sounds like a snare that goes all over the place. The piece is so intense as it builds, and the brass and strings blend incredibly well with each other in their own melodies. And then I said, did they just put the track in reverse at the 2-minute mark to lead back into the main theme? They did this thing that like kind of warps the phrase. Part of the melody sounds like something heard in a spy movie, and it seems incredibly fitting. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, some of them, it does.
Some of them had a lot of spy movie.
One was called like Undercover or something like that. I think it was in the second half where it did have this very James Bondy kind of Mission Impossible tone to it, which was kind of cool. It was very sly. Number one, though, I love the militaristic rhythm of this piece. It's very sly. I even wrote that second note. The digital percussion, or really just the hi-hats that they use, are placed very appropriately. This piece is full of mystery and urgency, but also confidence under pressure. I love how much of the digital timbres are used, not overused, and utilized well. Again, that balance. That build at the end was super, super cool. I love the progression and the timbre change plus the dissonance. That was the progression got really cool. The whole thing, it surprised me. And it did change timbres kind of towards the end, which was setting up for the rest of the OST. It was a very good first song.
Yeah. I liked that this was the first song, especially considering that they reused the first track and do beautiful variants of it. I really liked every time that they reused this motif.
Yeah. Yeah, they did vary it quite a bit and made it a pretty versatile. Actually, most of their versatility was from how it was the timbres that they used.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the motifical variations. Number two got a star for symbolism for me. Special Fire Force Company number 8. Same motif, but with a powerful timpani. It kind of represents the strength, and many types of strength too, not just physical powers, you know, emotional strength, strength of character, loyalty, things like that. The brass, the low brass takes the center stage at the very beginning, a very heroic, brave tone for the 8th, but it's also stripped back. Like they didn't over instrumentalize it.
No.
It's stripped back because it's a smaller company that packs a big punch. So I love the symbolism that they used for number 2. Great job.
Yeah, I said it the song itself tells a story. Like it's a story about the 8th. This is like their anthem essentially. In this particular piece, I really liked that the strings were very rhythmic and fast tempoed. Not even fast tempoed. Just moving at a faster pace. And then you have the brass who were like elongating their notes and even slurring their notes. And it was like a nice counterbalance of what you were hearing.
Maybe like the strings were a little more precise.
Yeah.
I did like
clean.
I wrote this down too as an overall note, but it was from the song from number 3. If I had heard this music during a fire, I would feel comforted.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, a call to action is more like it. It's called a call to service.
Yes, it is. The emotional impact of this music, such a good job. That's the overall goal of the OST anyway, and they nailed it. They nailed it. Number 4, Preston, please listen to number 4. If you need help with your final project, number 4 is the way to go.
This one had so many harmonies within the instruments that blended so well. And it actually took me a minute to like recognize all of them. Like they just blended so well. Like I had to go back and like listen to it again because I didn't even realize that they were there.
That's the amazing thing about the human voice and how it reacts to itself, like other human voices stacked on top, the way the harmonics of the human voice bounce off of each other. And it's incredible. That actually reminds me of a TED talk that I had seen of a choral composer that I will also add to the playlist, the YouTube playlist. You guys can watch that too if you want to learn about a choral composition and how the human voice reacts to each other is actually kind of the right at the beginning of YouTube and where like sending files over the internet. This guy talks about how he had always composed and he had never done a remote composition before, but he wrote a piece and he sent it to a bunch of singers all over the world and made like crazy, like hundreds of singers, hundreds of instruments, essentially hundreds of parts. And he stacked them all and composed like groups, like little bubbles of people that all make up one composition. Yeah. It's very, very cool. I will add it once I find it.
Well, that's all I had to say about track four.
That's all you had to say about track four.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then we get to number five, which was the cheesy song. The first one that I heard, it's called Around Eight. The cheese song for comical relief. Interesting choice of timbres for this piece. Yeah. Sounds nothing like the rest. Very DJ oriented with a super smooth guitar part. I loved it.
Yeah. Was that an organ synthesizer? Because that's what it fucking sounded like.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they used. It had some cool stuff.
It did. I said it sounded like Red Hot Chili Peppers, jazz, electronic, and other random genres that they just threw in there to give you this pretty groovy track.
Yeah. Awesome job. I can't praise cheesy songs enough. I've never once listened to an OST and went, that cheesy song is fucking sweet.
Yeah, the first thing was like, I mean, this is certainly a way to give cheese.
Yeah, it is done very well. And I think there was only one song that had almost no notes, and that was number seven.
Mine, I didn't have any notes for track seven.
Yeah, number six and seven were pretty similar to five. I liked number six better than seven. Days of the Blue Stripes, similar to five. I was like, what the fuck are these bass wobbles? That's it. So my only notes for that.
Track number six had a pretty cool glitched out sax that I really liked. Yeah,
that was cool too.
Yeah, that had a pretty cool thing. It constantly evolved. It like changed the instrumentation every time it came around with the melody. It wasn't bad cheese. It just maybe it kind of seemed out of place. I think when you have a bunch of songs that are supposed to provide comical relief and are kind of your cheese factor, I don't think that they should be all in a row.
No.
Because that is not a good listening experience. No. When you've heard the first like four tracks and they are not cheese, and then you go straight into like, what is it, three cheese songs in a row?
Yeah. Yes. Definitely shouldn't group them all together. That's a bad move.
Yeah.
It will take away from the rest of it. Let's talk about number...
I think Dax wants to say hi.
Oh, Dax, you want to say hi?
You say hi talking to the microphone.
I don't want to right now.
He does not want to right now.
You don't
want
to say hi to the people? No.
But he came out to help with the podcast.
He did come out to help with the podcast.
He's emotional support.
Yeah, emotional support. He helps me edit sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to keep going. Again, I didn't have anything starred until 11, but you had a half star on...
The Joker.
On The Joker, which was a good one. I just didn't have... I didn't star it.
Great start to this piece. So sinister yet playful. I love how they play with the low and mid frequencies. Simple orchestration with super ornate parts, especially when layered together. It makes it sound so much more complex. They truly captured this character. Chaos and harmony all wrapped up into one. Very cool outro.
Yeah. It almost had like a tango type feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of them were written as classic ballroom dancing pieces.
Yeah. I mean, they even had like, I think one of the tracks that we're going to be talking about in this first half is a waltz.
I don't know if that was in the first half. It's called Gray Waltz. Oh, maybe it is. Yeah, number 14.
Yeah. I was like, I think I started it, and I think that was one of the ones.
But a lot of the pieces kind of use the ballroom dancing, classical, traditional ballroom dancing pieces and rhythms as a basis for the piece.
Yes. This one had a really nice epic build into what pretty accurately describes the Joker in this song. I really liked that. I'm not sure that the accordion wasn't a good choice.
I think it was because it's very carnival-y.
Yeah, I know. I just don't like accordions. I think that's a personal bias.
It makes it sound creepier because the way the accordion was played was like, it has this...
It was like almost a distorted...
It's sinister.
Yeah, and that's something that I did say, that it has a faint darkness behind all, like, the entire piece that I found very fitting. And I liked the piano in the back. It really helped balance out the accordion.
Yeah. Well, let's keep moving because we got a lot to talk about today. We're already almost an hour in.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, we're not. Shots fired, number 11.
Yeah. Yeah.
You love this one. I mean, I did too.
I did. The very beginning, I just wrote building. It was such a world builder. By the layer too. They did it. It was texturally beautiful. And then they had the dramatic pause, which I always like.
Yeah, before bringing in that main orchestration too.
Yeah. Yep. And they had a lot of electronic elements that fit the anime incredibly well. Boisterous and yet another pause. What a way to end. Not really an orchestral resolve, but it did feel like it ended. They did a good job with like tricking you into thinking that it was resolved, but not really, but it did.
Yes. I think I give it what you're saying.
Thanks. Well, we'll hear
it
anyways.
I will.
We'll hear it.
I love the pitch swell, especially the beginning. Two pitch swells, actually. They drop it off before bringing in the main orchestration. One of the most heroic songs.
Yeah.
It has very heroic phrasing from the orchestra. It does so much in 2 minutes. The percussion section is amazing. And then they drop it off again and bring back a very tense string section. The only reason, and I think a lot of these songs didn't get a full star for me, was because I was waiting to hear that wow factor, like, oh, fuck yeah. And it never gave it to me. So I didn't know which ones to star. Like, I didn't know which ones were going to go, yep, that's the one. None of them had quite that. There were just a very few. There were enough pieces and maybe some cool techniques, mixing tricks, composition tricks that made me star a few of them. Most of them didn't really go, yep, for me.
No, and that's the same. Like, I mean, I only had that one half star on track one before I even full starred something again.
Yeah.
So.
Do you want to take a listen to 11?
Yeah, we both starred that one.
Sort of.
Oh, yeah, you three-quarters started this one.
Yeah, I didn't really start.
We don't have to listen to it. We can just listen to 13.
Yeah, let's listen to 13 because we gotta move. Okay. We gotta move forward. We're gonna run out of time. It'll be a 3-hour-long episode.
It's a good anime.
So this one is called Purgatory Idea. I'm gonna play it for you first before I talk about my notes because we've been talking a lot so far. Let's listen to some music, shall we? Purgatory Idea. So cool.
So chaotic.
It sounds like souls trapped in hell.
That's what I said. It even has this like ancient feel to it.
Yeah, they do capture some ancient mystery here. I also love the weird throat singing that comes in later.
Yeah. But see, this is like part of the OST sound design that I was talking about. They did a good job.
There's the throat
singing. They did a very good job like incorporating it into the songs and keeping it different than the sound effects in the anime.
I love how the brass was used in this too.
So deep and disgusting.
The strings don't sound like an orchestra either. It sounds like they're creeping along with the fires of hell.
Ooh. Deep and dark.
It is.
These are like the people of purgatory screaming out to you amongst the piece.
It's like all of the spontaneously combusted, the Infernals.
Yeah. And then I said, I was like, it's like, it's basically Purgatory is the main villain. Like, these people are being put into Purgatory. They're being forced to, like,
kinda, yeah,
go into it. That was my stoned moment of the day.
So creepy.
So dark. I love it.
Well, I know I said I was going to talk about my notes after, but I kind of just talked about them in the middle of the piece. Fantastic piece. That's kind of what we're talking about here. So much different stuff is happening.
Yeah.
So is T. I know we only played you one song. We actually have one more for you, I think, which is number 15, or you didn't start 15.
I didn't full start 15.
So we're only going to play you one from the first half of the OST, which is cool with me, because I want you guys to go listen to it. This OST is fantastic. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to ending number one.
Okay. You didn't want to talk about 15?
Okay, I can talk about 15. Devil's Beat. Fiery brass. My God. It's very important. Interesting and necessary synth that... It adds a lot to it. I didn't expect a synthesizer to be there, but it was very important. I love the fucking guitar. What an eclectic combo of sounds. And I was like, is that a siren? I was like, very nice touch. Cool production tricks, too. They have these reverse swells, but glitch them out. This is a heroic and terrifying piece.
Yeah, I felt like this was their play on The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
That is not at all what it is. The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Yeah.
This sounds nothing like Charlie Daniels.
I said a play, not it was, okay? You have your notes and I have mine.
You're going to have to explain that one.
I don't need to.
I have no I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Please explain it.
No. Also, I said, is there an organ on this track? Because if not, the way they distorted the strings sounded awesome. This song has like the ultimate build and also the ultimate come down.
It does.
Out of the song.
It does. Which is why I started. I was mind blown by this one. This one's very good. That one got a wow factor from me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Heard.
A couple of them did it, but not a lot, which was so disappointing. But yeah, let's move on to the ender.
Okie dokie. Ending number one, Veil by Kaina Sura. Again, episodes 1 through 12. Released on his first debut studio album, Billow, released February 2021. It did not hit any charts. A little bit about Kaina Sura. He started making music under the name Balloon in 2013 using Vocaloid software and didn't start using his actual name until 2017. He started as a lover of the drums, even went to the Kunitachi College of Music, but dropped the drums for guitar partway through. He's also featured in both Road to You ONAs.
We got to learn what that means. What does it stand for? Did you find out?
No.
You didn't even want to look it up?
Don't care enough.
You didn't care enough to look it up? What's wrong with you? What is
You're
wrong with you?
You're the only one who questions OAV, OVA, and ONA. You go look it up, sir.
Because it makes no sense. All right, this is the ending. Ending number one. Cool lo-fi in the beginning. You hear that vinyl crackle, which is probably simulated. Very mid-heavy. It sounds vintage.
It does. But also, they make the... they put, like, a filter on the animation for the ending sequence. So it kind of, like, goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because it's going back and sister and her, what's her name? I forget her name. I want to call her Sister Lily, but that's from Black Clover. But they go back into her past. So, I mean, it makes sense why they would use the vintage type of feel to it. Back in her days with Hibana at the,
yeah, at the
church.
There's a word for that.
Starts with a C, I think.
Words are hard this morning. I don't remember what it's called.
Convent.
Convent. Very cool. I also love how at the very end, like part of the animation sequence, is her waking up from dreaming about what happened that day.
Yeah.
Like her in the truck. And then she looks right at Shinra. There's a lot of little foreshadowing things in there.
Mm-hmm. I really like the way that they did the OSTs and the OSTs, the openers and closing sequences. Because even in the first one, it gave me some Rick and Morty type of vibes. Like how they're fighting like Cthulhu, and Cthulhu isn't actually in the anime. They were fighting that huge like demon robot monster thing. That never happened in the anime.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. They did fight a little demon robot monster thing.
Not in season one.
No, not in season one. You're right. Not in season one. I didn't even know if it was the same monster. They're just fighting all kinds of shit.
Yeah. All right, Garrett.
Let's get into some lyrics, shall we?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about lyrics. Ha-ha. All right. Even if I traced back to those joyless days, even if I curse my lack of change now, these words that dance up across the sky will not be enough to save you at all. The scenery remained unreachable, and all the pain that never gets warm. We walked shoulder to shoulder along the way to place far away. All these things like hope, you tell me, or the ideal you dream of, no matter how cold they are, I'll love them. Even if I weakly scream, the night becomes feverish, so that even if these hands are separated, I can walk again. I won't say goodbye. I hope it won't end without reaching you.
I wonder what that's about.
I'm pretty sure it's about like what the opening or the ending sequence is about.
But how?
What do you mean?
How would it be about
all these
that?
Things like hope you tell me or the ideal you dream of, no matter how cold they are?
Who is talking to who?
Sister to Hibana.
I don't know if that's it. I think it's more... I was picturing Shinra talking to the sister.
I don't know. Even in the back, even if I trace back to those joyless days, even if I curse my lack of change now, these words that dance up across the sky will not be enough to save you at all. I think it's like talking about that day that she dreamt about.
So maybe she's talking about the people that died?
Maybe.
She's talking to the people that died?
Maybe.
Hmm.
I don't think this one has anything to do with Shinra.
It might not. I think it fits.
I think it fits as well.
It doesn't fit as well as the others, though. This is the least fitting one, in my opinion.
Okay. I can see that. I like how in the transition of how the song starts... that can blend into almost every scene with that lo-fi kind of beat and like the low talking, like mm-hmm. how they bring it up. I think that is fitting to make it cohesive with the anime and
this one
transitioning.
This one sounds like it's made to fit, where the others sound like they actually fit the anime. This one feels like it was a bit forced, mostly because it just doesn't. Even the kind of happiness of the music, I know it's just a flashback, but it doesn't hit the drama that is in the ending sequence either.
That's true, especially for as much as they go into depth in the anime talking about, you know, make sure you don't show your weapons. Like, we're here for the people who have lost their loved ones to being an infernal. So you're right. It doesn't like necessarily hit the emotional capacity that the sequence itself is trying to say versus the song.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it gets like a half fit. Okay. We'll find that
sound. God damn it. We'll make it ourselves.
I'm going to find it on this one. I'm going to find it on this one, even though you just heard me play it. Just know that was post-production and I found it while I was editing, not while I was recording. Okay. It's time to move on.
Let's do it.
It's time to move on to opening number two, Mayday by Cold Rain, featuring Rio from Crystal Lake. It appears on episodes 13 to 24. It was released November of 2019 as their fifth single from the album The Side Effects. Not surprised it didn't hit the singles chart on the Oricon. It's not pop. Rolls eyes.
Yeah. I was kind of mad that this didn't hit the charts.
It makes sense. It's a pretty heavy song. It's the heaviest anime song I think I've heard, actually.
That's not true. That wrestling one that we watched, it wasn't Baki. It was...
Yeah, no, it's Ken Gon Ashura.
Ken Gon Ashura. That one had a fucking hard-hitting OP.
That one's pretty...
I really like that one.
The whole OST was basically metal.
Yeah.
The album itself was the lowest charted at a peak of number 21.
Yeah,
which is still pretty high.
Well, it was... Like, that was their lowest charting.
Oh, their lowest charting album.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, Cold Rain formed in 2007. All of the members from other bands. In the next year, they had their first nationwide tour, 2008. They have toured almost exclusively in Europe, the US, and Japan, attending festivals such as Vans Warped Tour and Download Festival. They also played at Nippon Budokan. Pretty dope. We know a lot about Nippon Budokan if you listen to Naruto.
Mm-hmm.
Our Naruto episode. We missed out over the pandemic because they released 3 live DVDs on YouTube temporarily to entertain the fans. Oh, shucks. Oh, fuck. The lead singer, Masato Hayakawa, stated Linkin Park and Incubus are his influences to record music. And the band's lead guitarist composer said this about his songwriting. It is essential not to forget why a song is cool. The song itself needs to have holding power. And only then is there meaning. I don't know what holding power is.
I don't know. I think it's the Japanese translation.
Yeah, I have no idea what the fuck that means.
I think it means that it needs to hold its own, essentially.
Okay. Why a song is cool. Yeah, no, that... I don't understand what you meant, but I think there's a language barrier there. They will be releasing their first single in 2 years on September 17th, which is...
Tomorrow.
Fuck yeah. They have constantly evolved over the years with their sound. Their first album was this alt-rock post-hardcore. Their third album, Pop Punk and Screaming, was compared to...
My Chemical Romance.
I was like, who the fuck is MCR? Bullet for My Valentine and A Day to Remember. That's cool. Love those bands. They're also featured in Hajime no Ippo, New Challenger, which I just started Hajime no Ippo,
mm-hmm.
at least the original one. And they're also featured in Rainbow Nisha Rokubo no Shichinin. God, I am so American. Rio is from the metalcore band Crystal Lake that formed in 2002. Their most recent single was released in July of 2021. Wow. So much information about them. Let's listen to the song, shall we?
Yes!
All of your favorite parts. Here is the song, Mayday. This is my favorite OP. I know it's only the second one so far. But it's my favorite OP. Here it is.
And I like how they included in, like, something you would get from, like, a call from, like...
Like a dispatcher
call?
Yeah. This is the kind of OP that this anime needed.
I also love that this, and this may be like a little taboo, but I love that the song is in English because it, like, I can relate to the song. It's a Japanese band, but I can sing this anime song. I love it.
Singing might be a stretch, but you're right. I only mean stretch because he's screaming.
That's true.
This song fucking hits hard.
So, funny story. So the other night I was listening to the OST and it went into the opening theme or this OP. And I was like, oh, I'm going to make an Instagram story and I'm going to have people guess what song I'm singing. But I literally cannot sing this song without making noise because it just comes right out. I tried to make the video like 3 times and I was like going to put music, like elevator music over it. It was going to be funny. And then I ruined it by singing.
Because you keep whispering?
Because I kept going.
You should have left it in. You should have just left it in. That's hilarious.
And Instagram glitches so hard on me, so I couldn't mute my video. It was being dumb. I was like, I give up.
Well, lyrics, please. Even though we just heard them all. I don't think we need to read them off, do we?
Not really. I think I can just, like, you know, point out some things that make it
let's do that.
Your crooked desire left us in a disarray, misguided, divided at the point of no return. You started a fire, you're gonna watch it burn. Try to save yourself like you always do. Also, I love that this song uses the word fuck in it.
it does. I didn't hear fuck.
I think they edited it out on the thing, but it says, why don't you choke on yourself, swallow the hate, or just fucking go? Oh, no, this is the fucking, like, chorus. Why don't you just choke on yourself, swallow the hate, or just fucking go? You set yourself, the world on fire, rising higher and higher, but there's nowhere to run because all of the bridges are burned. All you are is a fucking monster, a walking disaster. You touch it, you break it, you kill it, just like a cureless cancer.
Damn. Who is this about? Who is this about? Is this about just
I think it's just like being angry about the fucking evangelist. Yeah.
The lyrics may not actually fit.
No, but the song hits hard.
The song hits hard. And it's my personal favorite OP. Does it technically fit though? The song does.
Well, okay, so here's a lyric that does fit. Act like you've only done good, unfairly misunderstood. Play the victim, it's so you, what's new? Lie after lie after lie, we all stopped counting the crimes. You know why we can't trust you, don't you?
Who is that about?
This is obvious. Yeah, this is act like you've only done good. Like they think that they're doing the world a favor by killing off humanity to...
It's not even the White Cloud, though, it's the church. They act like they've only done good. They like built Amaterasu and stuff, but that isn't the case.
Yeah, so I think this is like just the anger toward. Because I think when this song starts playing is when they start doing the investigating and things like that. So it makes sense.
It does make sense. It's a bit of a stretch. But the music hits fucking hard.
And yeah,
the music fits this anime.
It does. Metal as fuck.
Check it off.
Got it.
Check it off. All right.
Time for the rest of the OST.
Second half of the OST.
Let's do it.
Yes, let's do it. Emily, what did you have starred? Go full stars, then half stars.
Okay, full stars, I had 17, 18.
Those are full. Okay.
17, 18, and then 28, 29 were my full stars.
Okay, I'm surprised you full starred 17. But I'm curious to see why. I had 24, 26, and 28 full starred. And then half stars, I'll put even slash 3/4 stars here. All the other stars I had 18, 21, 23, 25, 26, 27, 29. I already said 26 was full star, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I had 20, 21, 26 half starred.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot more in the second half, if you can tell, audience.
Yeah.
Second half got pretty nice. And the cool thing about that is they didn't, they were patient enough to share that with all of us.
Yeah.
To share those movements, which is probably why it didn't follow the story.
Yeah.
So, as far as full stars go, let's talk about 17 really quick. Because 17, although it had a lot of aspects about Leonard Burns, this one is called Leonard Burns, if you couldn't tell. Although it had some of the aspects of the character incorporated into the musical composition, I didn't think that it fit him that well. I didn't think that it really captured Leonard Burns, to me, how I viewed him.
I beg to differ. I found that a lot of the characteristics of the song really embraced how Shinra sees Leonard Burns,
okay,
rather than his character in general. For instance,
Shinra can only see so much, so that makes sense.
Right. So what Shinra sees is this secretive man. He knows that Leonard Burns knows something.
And he's powerful. He's huge.
And he's super powerful.
Super big and powerful.
So what I said in my notes, what a menacing track for a very secretive man. He's a mystery through almost the entirety of the first season. There's a lot of dark timbres in the song. The sudden drop of music, it really drove the character home for me. I loved how the low strings maintain the same rhythm, tempo, dynamic. Everything about them stays static. Like they have the exact same, they could have looped one part of the entire thing and played it throughout the whole track.
Okay.
This man has stayed true to himself even after 12 years, and everything around him just continues to change and modify, or essentially get worse. The world is essentially burning, and but his mentality of keeping the idea of why he kept what
he's
he
patient.
Did, his he was patient. So it's dark and menacing, but it also has this like vibrancy that kind of shines through in part of the track. And that was why I felt that this track actually held true to his character, because I don't think it was the way that his character as a whole, I think it was how Shinra saw this character.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. There is a lot, I feel like, that was untapped in the song about Leonard Burns. But they may just bring that back around in OST 2.
That's true.
We don't know that yet.
We do not notice.
One of the coolest things about 18, let's just move right along here.
Yeah.
They have some really, really cool sound design in here. Mostly the cymbal scrapes. I don't know what they used to... You need something almost sticky, like if you sucked on a lollipop and then you let it dry,
mm-hmm,
and gets that yeah, extra sticky. You need something like that to scrape along a cymbal to really make it sound like it did in that song. And I don't know what they did, but the sound design is very, very good in that piece.
Yeah, this was a song that I was listening to it and Garrett was doing something else, and I was like, oh, you're gonna love 18.
Yeah, she texted me. I forget what I was doing. Was that at work?
No,
I was at band practice.
Yeah, you're at band practice. I really liked the transition between 17 and 18. I even made sure to write it down. Awesome transition in tracks. Go from dark to darker.
Yeah, it's and it's cool, like, I don't know, it sounds like a machine is waking up.
Yes. The sound design was awesome. It matched the anime sound effects. It almost sounded like something from the darker part of Fantasia.
Okay.
It was like the upside down Fantasia.
Yeah.
I love the evolving sections between the creepy crackles and the swells of the strings, the crashes. I loved it until the very end.
Okay. Well, let's keep going then, shall we?
Yeah.
So I briefly, because since I just read a little note about number 19, I didn't star number 19, but I think that the song does well standing alone.
It does, but it was an awful transition from 18 to 19. Awful. Yeah. It was god awful because it was so sudden. It was so hard. And like you switch from this beautiful orchestral piece and then you go into like this heavy electric guitar. And I was like, no, I don't like it.
Orchestral rock song.
Yeah. And it was like heavy rock elements.
I also didn't really like
cohesive.
The guitar tone or the bass tone. It sounded fake.
Yeah. No, I think they did a MIDI bass for that. It's what it sounds like, at least.
I just totally wrote my note wrong. I meant not a great standalone song.
Oh.
Which is what that's what I meant. Sorry, guys. Sorry for the confusion there.
I would have much rather it been a standalone song than transition.
It is.
Two.
Yeah, that was a critique song. It is missing a lot.
That one falls below the cheesy song.
It felt lazy.
It falls below the cheesy.
Moving right along, though, I didn't really have a whole lot for 19 through about 23, even though 23 got 3/4 of a star from me. I did like how many options that were available for how they started 23. So 23 had a lot of really ambient sounds going on, and the orchestra didn't come in right away. It kind of left room for lots of, I mean, the term sadness, or the view of sadness, has a pretty broad term.
Yes.
You know? So there's a lot of emotions that you could choose to run with. And what they did was they brought in pads and this guitar, and with a guitar, layer that with effects, throw it through an effects pedal board, you can do a lot with that. And because of that, you can do a lot with the phrasing as well. So it left this huge, broad statement of a song to fill. And they did a really good job with it. And how they kind of layer in multiple guitar parts make it really, really cool and complex that way.
Yeah.
Not the most complex individual guitar parts, but how they're mixed in the song, what the mixing engineer did was great. And it's very subtle. They all sit together well, and they compose that piece with that in mind, I think. Planning for all the layers to come together rather than have any soloist stand out. Yeah. So I did like 23. Is there anything you wanted to talk about before my favorite movement of this entire OST?
I did want to, I have starred 20 and 21, and 20, I just liked it, but 21, they had that, that panning effect that I really liked. It's, I don't know what pad or percussion it was, but it just danced around my headphones, and it was pretty epic, like listening to it, because it just felt like it was like going through my brain. And it just stayed there. And I remembered the song from the anime too. It had some really cool fucking bass lines as well. And then the horns and brass got like their shining moment. Yeah. Like that song just had like a bunch of elements that came together to create a pretty like memorable song. And then for 23, that one is like, I had reverb, check, elongated notes, check, harmonies from every instrument, check. The slow tempo and the acoustic guitar melody are truly aiming to put me to sleep.
there was a lot going on with
there's
that
one. There's a lot.
21 was cool too. Now, I was just so happy when the end came. Like pretty much starting with 25, because although I starred 24, has nothing to do. It is a cheesy song, 24, and it's actually two of the cheesy songs got a star from me because they were just so different than everything else.
Yeah.
And they were just really unique and impressed me. But 25 starts off the movement in the chapter of Asakusa.
Mm-hmm.
And starting with 25, the musical setting, how they capture Asakusa's vibe and energy with music, perfect.
Yeah, they really nailed the culture-oriented, traditional, like, this place does things, like, District, or I guess Company 7, Asakusa, does things completely different than every other company.
Still part of Tokyo.
Yeah.
But it feels...
more like a prefecture, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, they all are, but, like, that section of Tokyo is its own little city inside of Tokyo.
Indeed.
It is a different vibe there. It feels almost countryer.
Yes.
But still, I don't know, there's a little bit of ruggedness to Asakusa. And they
capture
that.
The fact that they rebuild their houses and they take joy in it.
Yeah. They take joy in the destruction of it.
Yeah.
Because they live in the moment. It's very rugged. And I love the traditional instrumentation. It feels like traditional Japan of Asakusa. But they also threw in some other stuff, too, that make it sound like Asakusa and part of this different version of Tokyo, this alternate universe, not just traditional Japan. But it has this, like, rough and rugged traditionalness to it that I really like. And they left some of those instruments kind of dry and let them speak for themselves.
Almost raw.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Yeah.
But then you move from 25 to 26, the fighting festival. And that was awesome. The way they change, and again, more world building or musical setting, they just did such a good job. I mean, I love the percussion used. The phrasing is fantastic. What a super fun and invigorating piece. Subtle effects that were very tasteful, as this is a pretty complex and, for lack of a better term, more intimate setting. It's a little like get to know your neighbor, so to speak. Everybody knows everybody. It's a way to bring in more complexity and energy at the end, too. Like, they just did such a good job. Loved Fighting Festival. That got a star for me.
Yeah, it got a half star for me, but I loved that they put sound to every working part that is included in the Fighting Festival.
Yep.
So I said it's a whole process that involves multiple working parts. I loved the melody changes between the instruments and just layering as the song continued and evolved. I said yes, period. Some cool tribal stuff type things happening here that really, like, bring the song home.
Yeah.
It makes it feel like home. Asakusa is home.
But then we keep going right along, and it's followed with number 27, Burning Disaster. And I knew where this song goes in the anime, like, right when I heard it. It has this anxiety, which Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood captured very, very well. And this is one of the songs that reminded me a lot of FMAB. Tons of shit going down all at once. There's hits, hits which feel almost random. And as you listen to it, you're like, those are in rhythm, but you're like, oh shit, something's happening over here. Shit, something's happening over here. Here's some more important shit. It's the same spontaneous combustion that's happening to everybody. So the hits are the same, but it's happening randomly and they don't know why.
Yeah.
And there's a level of, like, we need to keep calm because although shit is getting crazy, we have to stop it from hitting the fan. You know, the shit is not quite hitting the fan. It's about to if we freak the fuck out. The events are spread out, those hits. They spread the hits out enough to where it feels like it's capturing the musical setting of what's going on in the scenario. The main event comes in and everyone gets moving.
Yeah.
Like, all of the pieces of the orchestra get to work. And they do just a great job symbolizing that scene with music.
Yeah.
Loved it.
There was no build to that song.
No.
There was no build. They went straight to the point. It was such a way to enter. And it was a really fast tempo as well, which really, like, struck home on, like, it's a burning disaster. It's a disaster. You need to, it's fast acting. You need to get on that shit.
Yeah.
So they did a really good job with setting the scene.
Very, very good job. And then Moving to 28, which we both liked.
My favorite.
We both liked that one. Let's talk about our notes as we play this one.
Okay.
Because I'm ready to listen to some music. I know our audience is too, aren't ya?
Aren't ya?
Aren't ya? Well, let's fucking play some shit for you.
Scorching Heat Requiem.
Yes. Fucking awesome, this piece. Let's go.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
Wait for it.
Sound design.
Sound design right out the gate. It's literally my first note. Whoa. Great sound design. And then you get the chance. It's all ancient and powerful. It really is.
I said the sound effects. The dramatic build into the choral line.
Yes. And then this Star Wars fucking crazy shit. It's so Star Warsy. I love it.
This piece really drives like the idea of a requiem.
Oh, definitely.
Like blazingly hot.
This, he must have been a fan of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood because this sounds so much like it.
It does.
All these movements kind of do have a flavor of FMAB to them.
And it's also it's loud, and everything about it is so intricate. Like, everything's just kind of, like, has its own part that cohesively, like, comes into it, but it's boisterously so.
I was like, how are we still getting so much versatility? How? It's track 28. We're almost the very end. I was like, please take me further. I'm already hooked. And it does. It gets you again. And has this weird, like, wobble that comes in. Very nice touch. That. What?
This song fucking drops to the choral line again.
Yeah.
It does it again. That's amazing.
Such a nice touch. The brass is used so well, too. Phrasing is so fucking good. Amazing,
like,
piece.
It's almost like... like, the brass are just telling their own story. I said this is a hell of a way to blend the past 27 songs and their instrumentations and styles into this awesomeness. Like, he took everything that he's done in the song and the OST so far and just made it into one song.
Yeah. So good. The way the brass is used behind the vocals, too, is just phenomenally done.
Yeah.
Thoroughly impressed me. That one had lots of wow factor that I was looking for.
That was, again, my favorite song. But, again, I really liked 29 as well.
Me, too. That one is called The Bond of Friendship. And I put a little exclamation point by it because it is the slow version of the original motif, and they put it at the very end.
Yeah.
It was a perfect way to end this OST and to end this movement because it seriously brings the whole thing together. Lots of emotion. It is almost sad, but settles into something very uplifting and eases us out of the energetic final chapter and kind of leaves room for the next chapter.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't just resolve.
Yeah, the OST. It leaves you wanting more, but ending it in a way that you feel satisfied.
Yes.
I said because every anime OST should have a track about friendship. LOL.
Of course.
I also loved how raw this piece sounded. Like it's as if I'm standing in the room with them and they're just practicing. Like doesn't seem the way that the song was mixed is just I really enjoyed it. I don't know what they did differently, but it does. It sounds more raw than the rest, like lacking perfection, which I enjoyed.
It's placed well. They recorded it well. great way to, just overall great way to end the OST.
Yeah. And you and I shared similar notes because I was like, it's the motif again, but in a more hopeful sense.
Yeah.
Every instrument is mixed so well to be blended so seamlessly. Even the minor progression has turned happy and intense. It, the end of the OST entirely was so cinematic.
Yeah. Great fucking job. That pretty much wraps up the OST.
Yeah.
You guys should go listen to it. It is a phenomenal OST. We didn't really play that much music, and there's so much music to be heard. It is, like we said, versatile. Certainly versatile.
It'll keep you on your toes.
It will keep you on your toes. So let's move on to the last ender here.
It'll be short because we've already talked about Lenny Code Fiction.
We have already talked about Lenny Code Fiction. I fucking love those bitches.
Good bitches. You're good bitches.
Yeah. Ending number two, Nonai by Lenny Code Fiction. It appears on episodes 13 through 24 as well. It was released December of 2019 as their fifth single, and then on the album In My Head. It peaked at number 87 on the Oricon. Lenny Code Fiction, you want to know more about them? Go listen to our My Hero Academia episodes, because they have my favorite OP from My Hero Academia.
Indeed.
Well, let's listen to the end, shall we?
Let's do it, because we are almost at the end.
That's right. Here it is. Nonai.
I like how it's pretty cohesive with the timbre of the OP.
Yeah, it's heavy.
Yeah.
I actually would never have guessed this was Lenny Code Fiction until this part right here.
Yeah. Na, na, na,
na, na. That's Lenny Code as fuck.
That guitar.
Ooh, that bass tone. Also, that guitar coming out of the right, that lead guitar, it has this tone that one of my favorite guitarists, Mr. Fastfinger, uses. Just wild sounding.
Yeah.
Song fucking kicks ass.
I hope you guys like headbang like we do when we listen to the OPs. I hope wherever you are, you're headbanging along with us.
I'm sure you are. I am sure you are. How could you not with that kind of music?
That's true. All right, so let's get into some lyrics.
Yes.
When I look at the imaginations in my head, I return to myself. And then he repeats, I will, I'll be me, four times. So then we get into the verse, and it's forcing me to be is like a devil that devours me. That guy who used his claws on me uses the same claws to defend someone else. Weapons turn into both wounds and shields. Isn't that what life is like? I'm spending a night in the fire with a secret that seems to disappear but never does, is known to none. The more I am drawn to it, the more the ignorant laugh. All creation in the universe still yesterday is a guide. The entire range of emotions that breathe. I don't want to take them away without knowing myself.
Okay. Shinra.
Shinra.
About Shinra.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't want to take away anything without knowing himself, because he knows nothing about himself, really.
Yeah, he's figuring it out along the way. And it's weird because other people are telling him about himself.
Well, yeah, more people know about him than he does.
He does, yeah.
He's just so confused.
He's just trying to find his
mate. He's trying to get through this.
He's trying to keep his promise.
He's got severe PTSD, I think.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, Lenny Code Fiction, you killed this one, guys. You nailed it.
I think it fits.
Absolutely fits.
Yes.
I think that opener and ending two fit better than the first two.
Okay.
Where the ender, I think opening number one was really good. Ending number one was okay. Opening number two, although I am biased, if I take my bias out, the music fits, lyrics don't really make sense. And then finally you have this last ender and they bring it all back around. Yeah, they bring it all back around. They killed it. Music fits and lyrics fit.
Wacha!
Woo! Did it. Nailed it. We don't have any fun facts for you.
No, I tried my best to look for something like something about the Soul Eater Fire Force crossover shenanigans, which they did do. I mean,
hope they do some behind the scenes of sound design. I'm going to look that up and see if we can add it just late to the playlist because there are so many things, so many questions that I have about Fire Force and how it was made. And really, my biggest question is, why the fuck did it not get pushed harder?
Yeah, I don't know. Because season one came out in 2019. This was before the pandemic. I kind of like, you know, even listeners, I was like, okay, it came out during the pandemic. Of course, that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
they're struggling to put shit out anyways. But this came out in 2019. And even in 2019, I didn't really hear anything about it.
Yeah, no, it did. It lost. How did we even find it? I think it was just... We saw a trailer maybe on Crunchyroll.
I think, because
I was like, what's Fire Force?
Because we watched.
We were trying to find some new stuff to watch.
And they were coming out with season two. And we're like, oh, well, we got to catch up on season one. And then
and
watch
it ended
season
up being
two.
So good. This is one of my favorite animes.
Yeah. No, it is. It has a great story. There's actually the writer actually had some issues because there is a anime called Promare.
Okay.
And he said that they stole his idea of the story.
They what?
Yeah, it's like basically like they're fighting like people who are
on fire,
on like fighting fires and shit like that.
Oh shit!
And I'm like,
well,
juicy.
Well, we'll have to watch that or read the. Is that just a manga? Or
I think
it
has
too?
An anime as
okay.
well. I'm not
well,
sure though.
This is easily one of my favorites. They did such a good job. You guys should go watch it if you have not.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty much it. We don't need to talk off here anymore because...
We've done that.
Yeah, there was a lot of information in this, a lot of things to break down and dissect. And I know we didn't play that much music for you, but I really hope you go listen to the whole thing because it is worth the listen, and this anime is definitely worth the watch. Go watch it. And we are coming up on 2 hours, so I think, Emily, it's time for your outro.
Oh, is it my turn?
It is your turn.
My beautiful humans out in the world, whether you are taking us with you for the ride or you're chilling in your own BBC, we are absolutely thrilled to finally be able to share our love of sound effects.
Yes, the sound effects, yes.
Anime and music with you every freaking week.
Yes, and if you could do just a couple things for us. Number one, obviously... Go click the link for the Instagram page in our show notes. Go send us a message. Talk about some of your favorite animes. Tell us a story about an anime that you fucking love, especially if we've covered it. That's why we heard about... What's that guy's name that messaged us?
Not sure. I can look it up.
Yeah, please look it up. Send us a message. Tell us what you like about anime. See if we have done an episode about one of your favorite animes, or if we haven't, send us a request. We haven't seen everything, and we always take suggestions. And if you're a musician or at least know something about music, you should come on the podcast, right? You should.
That's right.
Favorite anime.
It was Lav Gooms. He commented on our Monday memes.
He also sent us the Demon Girl Next Door.
Yes.
Yes.
And he said Fire Force is one of his all-time favorites, the inspiration for him to study sound design in college. And it's a coincidence because he had also started watching Unlimited Blade Works.
Nice.
Around the same time that we released our episode last week.
Well... Thank you for sending us that message, Lav
yes,
Gooms.
We love messages like that.
We also
love
the Demon Girl Next Door. That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
That was really, really good. It surprised me. But yeah, that's, we like connecting with our audience. So please, if you're listening and you haven't sent us a message, please do so. If you, especially if you speak Japanese or know a thing about music, please reach out to us. Oh my God, I'm
help
so tired.
Help us speak your language, please.
I am so tired of butchering your beautiful language. So please reach out to us. Also, we do have a couple of links down there. One, most importantly, for the YouTube playlist, so you can follow along and see everything else that we talked about.
What the fuck we talk about.
That's right. So go click on the link in the YouTube playlist. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel so you know when new playlists will come out and what episodes we'll be doing. Because that's kind of how, like, if we don't talk about it, you'll find out on YouTube because we make the playlist and make it public. Also, there is a link for our Etsy shop. If you guys would like to support the show and you would like a little something extra in return too, like really cool fan art, prints, buttons, stickers, and or a t-shirt. Eventually more merchandise will come out soon. We just got to pump out the rest of this merchandise. Mm-hmm. Merch is expensive. Please pick something. Buy a gift for your weeb friends. Birthdays are around the corner. Holidays are around
Christmas
the corner.
Christmas
is coming. Or if you need something for a souvenir from Austin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll send you that souvenir. Fuck yeah. They literally were all made in Austin.
It's very true. Locally sourced.
Locally sourced. Farm fresh. Mm-hmm. Fan art. More Fs. We brought it back around.
Coincidences.
And if you don't need anything in return, just our entertainment, and you're feeling really generous, there's also a link to donate for the show. It's how we can spend more time doing this for you guys.
And not work our regular stupid jobs.
Yeah. Let's fucking do this forever. Just watch all the anime. Eventually, my dream is to like have an anime theater in Austin that just plays anime. That'd be pretty sick. And a manga library. But that's a dream. I need your money first. I need your money first. So send me money so I can build that shit. And that is it, guys. So what are we doing next week?
We're finishing out Fate's Day Night. Right.
Season 2 of Fate. We're doing Fate next week. And I think also next week we're going to the Etchy Expo. We are fucking cosplay.
We're cosplaying.
Just came in the mail. I'm going as, not going to tell you. I'll tell you on Instagram. So go follow us on Instagram. I changed my mind immediately. And Emily's going as, just kidding. We're going to tell you that on Instagram, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. That's it for us, guys.
You guys have a fucking beautiful week, a beautiful weekend. Stay safe. Don't be dumb.
Fuck
we
shit
love
up.
You.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And tune in next week for another episode of Anime Noise. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Beanbag Chair Media production.